This is the IVJ podcast for the week of July 27th, 2020, brought to you by the law firm Krieg DeVault. I'm Mason King. The big debate at the moment, of course, is about masks, whether they're effective, who should have to wear them, where they should be required, whether the governor can mandate them without action from the legislature. And meanwhile, nobody seems to dispute the value of cleaning. Every serious return-to-work plan includes extensive measures for scrubbing down surfaces multiple times a day to kill coronavirus germs. I mean, for a while, it seemed like the economy might grind to a halt due to a shortage of Clorox wipes. Manually disinfecting the workspace is a time-consuming and, to be honest, imperfect practice, and yet it's a vital aspect of any plan to get businesses, schools, or healthcare facilities operating at full capacity. Entrepreneurs Jason and Deanna Brew appear to have a novel solution. It draws equally on their respective and seemingly unrelated expertises. Jason is a robotics expert, and wife Deanna is a microbiologist. After the pandemic hit, it occurred to them that the two disciplines could work well together. They very quickly designed and built a prototype for an autonomous robot that can navigate workspaces and shine a disinfecting UVC light on all exposed surfaces to kill microorganisms like viruses. They call it the UV Ninja Lux. They've added a smaller model called the Lumen. They've been able to get to market with pretty impressive speed because they already own a company called Brew Industrial Engineering that makes industrial automation equipment. But they have formed a separate company for the new invention. It's called AutoBioReduction. I spoke to them last week about how they put their heads together to develop this device, inspired in part by COVID-19 infections in their own family. And we also discussed what it's like to be in business with your spouse and how they fared running a small business during the pandemic. Here's our interview. I'd like to welcome to the IVJ Podcast virtual studio, Deanna Brew, CFO of Brew Industrial Engineering. Welcome, Deanna.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
And we also have Jason Brew, CEO of Brew Industrial Engineering.
How are you? Thank you.
Most important question, of course, is how long have you guys been married?
It's been a few moons.
We've known each other for over 20 years, and we've been married about as long. We kind of got to know each other.
We've been married 10 years.
Well,
half the time.
Okay. It seems like it's been longer.
So did I understand this correctly, that you guys met on AOL?
Yes, way back when it wasn't creepy to be on the internet.
I had moved to Indianapolis. I was just looking to meet new people. And back then it was Instant Messenger, and you could randomly chat with people in the area. And Deanna and I somehow miraculously made a connection, formed a friendship, and that friendship blossomed into a relationship a year or two later. Since then, it's been bliss for the past over 10 years, 20 years in total.
I almost hesitate to ask this question. Do you guys feel like you work well together?
You know, we do. We actually, so the short answer is, yeah, we actually work really well together. However, it's been a learning experience. We've worked together one other time before, and that went okay, maybe not as great, but we have really learned to work with each other. We could not be more different, Jason and I. Our personalities are complete opposites of each other. So we have really learned to take those and find ways to complement each other in a way that is benefiting to our family or business. We're super family oriented. The kids come to work with us every day. We'll even pack the dogs if we need to spend time with them. So,
how is it that your personalities are different?
I am very much cool, calm, collected, will things through, maybe a little too much sometimes, but overall very patient and will look at different angles. Jason is very quick on his feet.
I've got to be doing something at all times. I've got to have projects going. I've got to have new things happening. I get bored very, very easily. So where I'm constantly wanting to do something and change something, Deanna's bringing me back down to earth and making me a little more grounded. So together we really complement each other. And as Deanna said, it wasn't always that way. We spent some years fighting and figuring it out. But ultimately we've really found a way to make each other better every single day. And I would say that that's a very tough thing in a marriage, let alone in business. So to have that has been really a great, great opportunity for us.
So you founded Brew Industrial in 2011?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just in a nutshell, what does Brew Industrial Engineering do?
Brew Industrial Engineering is a automation integrator. So what we do is we take typical off-the-shelf components in the industrial automation world and build systems from that. So when you're thinking of automation assembly lines, like in a car manufacturing plant where robots are putting cars together, we design and build and program those type of systems.
So a typical customer might be someone with an assembly line. And
absolutely. Your large car manufacturers in Indiana, your Hondas, your Subarus, we definitely spend time in those plants. We've got projects throughout the entire world, and it's not only in automotive manufacturing, but we do all types of automation. We have customers that we build equipment for. One of the customers builds dumpsters, and the control panels on the compactor for a dumpster is what we design and build for them, over 1,200 a year. And those are out throughout the entire world. We've also got wastewater systems and control systems everywhere from Mexico to New Zealand to Europe, Canada, everywhere.
So when the pandemic hit, how did that business get affected?
So because we aid manufacturing in so many ways, we are a type of essential business. So it really didn't. We have a 25,000 square foot facility. So there really was quite a bit of space between everybody involved. And we all stayed busy. I feel like it was actually busier than normal because so many industries are trying to automate some systems. Mm-hmm. So we were really busy.
And we're still very busy. That is one thing that we feel very fortunate that we've been able to help support essential businesses and that's helped us grow as well through this very difficult time. We're seeing a lot of companies reshoring manufacturing during this crisis, as well as a lot of companies taking the opportunity where they would never have time for a shutdown to do some of the capital and some of the maintenance work that they typically need to do. They're doing it now.
So at some point over the last 5 months or so, you get an idea, which becomes UV Ninja Lux, for which you create a new company, Auto Bio Reduction. Tell me, what was the germ of the idea? How did that come about?
So we were working with the robot part of the UV Ninja for a different project. And this is, so when I talk about Jason's personality, how he is quick and he is everywhere, a million thoughts all at once, that's literally how it started about. We were working with those robots and then our mind drifted to, you know, there's a global pandemic going on. This the UV lights that we were also working with would be really helpful in mitigating the issue. And that's where it all started.
On top of that, Deanna had received information from her family, who the majority of her family is still living in Mexico. They live in Mexico City. And her aunt and uncle were diagnosed with COVID. Thankfully, they didn't have any major symptoms. But as we're thinking through this and when it really starts to hit home, the dynamics of my mind go to, okay, how can we mitigate things? How can we change things? What can we do? How can we do it? And I'm constantly thinking, how can we apply what we deal with in the industrial world on a commercial level? Because just like a lot of technologies begin in the military space, there's also a lot of processes and functions that happen in an industrial realm that can be applied to a commercial or even a residential space as the technology is developed and it matures. So when we're using these robots and we were looking at this UV disinfection system that's commonly used in hospitals to disinfect operating rooms, we thought, hey, what a better way to combine the technologies than to make this a completely autonomous system, completely safe, completely green, with no byproducts, that we can utilize and leverage this technology really anywhere. And what a better way to help mitigate what's going on right now.
And UV light has been used for decades. I mean, when I graduated from Purdue University and worked in a lab, we used it in our lab. It is very, very commonly used. So what a better piece of technology to use than something that's been tried and tested for decades.
So what does it do? If I'm sort of standing in a corner and I see this, what's happening?
The system or UV light in general?
The system.
Okay, so the system is a completely autonomous robot. What we do is when a robot is deployed, we come in, we walk the robot around, and we let it map the space. it automatically starts looking at walls. It looks for doors. It looks for glass. There are several sensor technologies that really draws a picture of the space. What we do then is we coordinate with the customer, hey, here are some high contact areas, door handles, elevator push buttons, drinking fountains, cafeteria spaces, spaces where typically you'd get things wiped down, but there's really no way to disinfect the entire space. What we do then is we pinpoint on that map that was drawn where we want the robot to disinfect and where, how and where, when we want it to do that. At that point then, we create what's called a mission. Lux, the UV Ninja, then will go out and execute that mission when we tell it to. So for example, at night, if the office is closed at 5 o'clock, we'll set the mission for 8 p.m. and Lux goes out and does the work. That's how it works.
Yeah, it doesn't need any human interaction. The missions are set beforehand and it goes around disinfecting any space.
So it's casting a UV light that disinfects.
That's it.
Would it be a good idea for me to be at my desk while this is happening, or should I really not be there?
So Lux is really meant to be used after everybody has left for the day. You are using UV light, essentially what you get from the sun and what we see outside. It is the same type of light that you are emitting throughout a commercial space.
However, the UVC light is a specific wavelength of that that's typically filtered out by the atmosphere. So we're not typically exposed to UVC light, but when UVC light was discovered to be a germicidal disinfectant, it was realized that it can also be harmful to humans if not utilized properly. Mm. So we do require that the system be run autonomously without humans in the space. To that, we do have several safety sensors on the system to ensure that it cannot run while there are people in that space because it can be dangerous to people.
No kidding. So it would recognize me, said, there's that poor guy who's always working until 9. I need to shut off or go somewhere else.
It absolutely does. And that's the great thing about the autonomy of this system is as we've mapped the space, the system is constantly looking for, utilizing all the different sensor technologies, changes in that environment or things that aren't supposed to be there or movement. So you get kind of this additional functionality from the system that, hey, I'm seeing something that really shouldn't be here. And what it does then is it alerts the customer via our web portal or a text message or an email and says, hey, I wasn't able to complete this mission or there's something in the way of my mission. I can either try and reroute and find another way to get done what you've asked me to get done, or do you want me to stop? What would you like me to do?
Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. This is the IBJ Podcast.
The IBJ Podcast is brought to you by Krieg DeVault, a trusted and dynamic law firm representing a wide variety of local, regional, and national clients. Committed to each other and to every client, Krieg DeVault prides itself on integrity, professionalism, respect, and excellence. Financial institutions, global manufacturers, national healthcare providers, and successful organizations of all sizes and market focus rely on Krieg DeVault to create innovative and successful business solutions. Connect today at www.kriegdevault.com.
All right, we're back with this week's edition of the IBJ Podcast. We're talking with Jason and Deanna Brew about developing an autonomous robot that can disinfect large workspaces with germ and virus-killing UVC light. So when did the germ of the idea first hit you?
So it was after we found out Deanna's family was infected at first, and then as we're working through different projects in our office, we typically have anywhere from 20 to 50 projects going on at any time. And as we're driving these robots around and working on another project where we're using the same base robot, the UV light project came up and we really just went, hey, you know what? This is a phenomenal idea. This is really a great combination of technologies that could be deployed really anywhere. And it shouldn't be just limited to hospitals. At this point in time, it really should be deployed safely to every environment we can possibly put it in.
Well, and that was one of the first thoughts that we had. Why is this not being used everywhere? It is highly effective.
And the real answer to that, why it's not being used everywhere, is there is a cost to it. But not only is there a cost to it, but there's a labor component to it where you typically had to move these lights into these spaces, let them do their job, and then you'd still have to have that labor component come back and remove them. So that's where the autonomy piece comes in.
So was this April or?
So we funded the company in May, but the project started probably around the middle to the end of April. And as soon as we started talking about doing this project, we gathered our team and we were so excited to be able to put these two technologies together. The team came up with a working prototype within a couple of weeks. And so once we had the prototype, it seemed, you know, it was only natural that we got the company started and we got everything moving.
That's amazing. 2 weeks. I mean, it sounds to me like it's an incredibly complicated thing. I don't know if this stuff you can just kind of pull off the shelf and just throw together into a bucket, or I mean, you really had to do a lot of programming, or how does that work?
So we have a very, very talented and amazing team. With Brew Industrial, everything we do is custom. A customer comes to us and says, hey, I want to make cookies that are purple and that have sprinkles. And we have to come up with a system that will do that. And then the next customer says, hey, I would like to make a red car that has this kind of hood. And we then have to come up with another system. So our team is very experienced in agile thinking and really coming up with quick solutions, quick processes that can achieve what we need to. The great thing about having such a diverse and capable team is that we can take the knowledge of everybody's experience and come up with some really cool ideas really, really fast. The other thing that helps is when we're doing so many projects at one time, we have a lot of resources available inside of our facility that we can mock things up and try different systems as we come up with ideas. So when we were thinking about this, we were able to literally grab pieces of equipment that we had on hand and put together the prototype.
And I think a big part of coming up with these ideas for the Brew team is that because we do so much in so many across so many different industries, there is truly a mentality of, and this probably sounds so corny, but I truly feel that if I can dream it, he can build it and our team can build it. There is no limits as to what we can do. And that is a huge mindset that is a hurdle sometimes. And for us, it isn't.
Did you have any issues with trying to put all this together during the pandemic?
So we do have some challenges with our supply chain. I think the pandemic has affected supply chains differently. And with our supply chain, the majority of our suppliers are critical infrastructure, critical businesses that still support a lot of the major manufacturing centers throughout the United States. So we're lucky enough to have the majority of our supply chain available, but some of the global products that we rely on have been more difficult to get. But because we're so used to being able to find solutions, we simply transition to something different and we get the job done.
So what kind of customer would use this device?
So this product is really meant to be used in any sort of commercial space, an industrial space, anywhere where you would have a lot of people congregating, a grocery store, schools are a great place, anywhere where there is a lot of people touching things. We really reset the spread of the virus every night after people have been in there, and we're able to sort of start over clean the next day. So
it's really, a pretty broad base of potential customers.
It's huge. Yes. Anywhere where there are people.
It's funny. We sat down with our team and we started brainstorming where we could apply this technology. And we had ideas from large call centers where you've got thousands of cubicles. When you think of a cubicle space, it's nearly an impossible task to truly sanitize that space. Not only are the desktops cleaned at that point, but you've also got the fabric and the chairs and the carpet that are also disinfected with UV technology. So we really thought, how could we position this equipment in different spaces? And you've got elderly care facilities would be a great fit for this. Shopping centers, malls, indoor spaces where you've got a lot of common areas, hospitality, educational institutions, any kind of public spaces, government spaces, municipal spaces. The product can really lend itself to any space that we can map the space in.
Okay, so I'm sold on the idea. How much does it cost?
It's $69,000. For the system, which that gives you also a year's worth of monitoring through our cloud data center. We monitor the robot. We make sure that it's completing its missions. We also notify you if there's any kind of issues. And that goes back to where Deanna said it's really designed for a commercial space. It's not an inexpensive piece of equipment that could be utilized in homes at this point.
Yeah, no, this is definitely not something that you would have in the home just because you have people in the home most of the time. And it is meant, you know, it covers thousands of square feet. So it is meant for a larger commercial or even smaller commercial, but somewhere where you would have a lot of traffic.
Is the cost right now the biggest barrier in terms of the, you know, dealing with potential customers?
So we just launched a couple of weeks ago. The product went to market just a couple of weeks ago. So we are talking to several different potential customers. I don't believe that we necessarily have any hurdles so far.
You know, it's a challenge. The challenge is more educational than it is a cost barrier. When you look at the cost of technology, we're bringing two very expensive pieces of technology together to perform a task that simply can't be performed any other way. And when you're looking at mitigating a type of risk like COVID, we've received quotes back to mitigate a space after a COVID outbreak of one single time at $50,000. Mm. People may not know that or be aware of that, but if you have a 10,000 square foot space and you have one outbreak that you want mitigated, you're going to pay $50,000 one time. With our system, it mitigates every single night. Not only does it work well for COVID, but it also works well going forward. Imagine the cost of lost opportunities and labor during the flu season. This is a great mitigating technology for that as well. So it's very hard to put an ROI back, but if you were, we can easily go back and look at the cost of the technologies in typical industrial and medical spaces and say that we're far below the current rate of that technology in those spaces.
So you've created a separate company for this product, auto bioreduction.
Yes.
How much have you invested in this entire initiative so far?
We're getting close to $500,000 in investment in auto bioreduction. And Lux the UV Ninja is not the only product that we're hoping to develop for auto bioreduction. Our goal with auto bioreduction is to really develop autonomous systems that help reduce those everyday biological hazards. And we've got some other really neat, exciting products that we're developing and we're hoping to release here within the next few months to go along with that type of technology.
And just as entrepreneurs, that's money right out of your pockets.
Every day, all day. It is.
Yeah. And I think you hit on something I was going to ask is, do you think this is a kind of technology that we are always going to need now? Let's say, you know, as they say, a year from now, there's a vaccine for COVID. Do you suspect that this is something that is going to be needed from here on out?
So this is not the first or the last outbreak that we will experience in society. And UVC light works on all types of microorganisms. So whether it's COVID now, it's the flu in the fall, you know, there's biological hazards all everywhere, all around us. And they always have been. So I do think that this is a very useful tool that can stand the test of time. I think that mitigating the pandemic and what we're going through, this is a great tool to help with that. So, you know, will we always have to live with biological hazards? Yes. But when it comes to this, when it gets this far in how it affects society, I do think that this is really useful.
So you have not sold any yet, but you have, I think, three prototypes?
We do. We have three built prototypes. They are commercially available. The interest in it has been through the roof. Obviously, with a new technology, with a new system like this, and there's a high cost to entry, it is going to take some time to get the ball rolling and get people out there. But we've had phenomenal response to the technology. We've had a lot of demonstrations. We'll be posting several new videos of those demonstrations and people's applications and how we're deploying this system in real world scenarios coming up near every week. And we certainly hope that we can get these deployed quickly in actual customer sites sooner than later to help really mitigate the risks that we're seeing right now.
And you mentioned the one of the genesis for the idea that Deanna's family, I think you guys developed, was your aunt and uncle developed COVID. And I understand that, I think, was it your grandmother has since passed away?
Eventually, yeah, she passed away.
I assume this gives you kind of an extra level of passion for a project like this.
Yeah, it definitely makes you look at things very differently. You never think it it's going to happen to you until it does. And then it just becomes that much more personal to try and put something out in the world that will help avoid this sort of things from happening. I mean, I would have given anything to have Lux at the right place at the right time, right? You never know where you became in contact with the virus or where, but it's the commercial spaces where there are large gatherings of people. That's where I feel that the biggest risk is. And we can do as much as we can as people to try, you know, wash our hands, wear masks. But this type of technology, it's really important for larger spaces that are much more difficult to mitigate.
I think when we have things affect us personally, it obviously changes the dynamics of our passions. And so when Deanna was spending time in Mexico, she was gone for nearly a month. And I was a single dad at home with four kids and three dogs trying to make it all work. You know, that does change your focus in creating solutions that help you avoid that pain. We as humans try and make ourselves as comfortable as possible. And the luxury of us having a firm like Brew Industrial gives us that creative outlet to create systems that we certainly hope can help make things better for everybody.
Well, thank you so much for telling your story. This sounds like a fascinating product.
Thank you so much. We appreciate all your time.
Thank you for having us.
My thanks again to Deanna and Jason Brew. In the latest issue of IBJ, Anthony Shetley has more on their plans for manufacturing and marketing the UV Ninja. And before you get on with the rest of your week, there are a few other stories I want to draw to your attention. Lindsay Erdody explores how many not-for-profit groups that provide vital services for needy clients have been forced to cut back and modify their missions on the fly during the pandemic. Mickey Shuey digs into the codependent relationship between downtown's restaurants and the city's hard-hit convention and tourism business. Without conventions, the restaurants are struggling. And without the restaurants designed to appeal to convention goers, downtown Indianapolis could be a lot less attractive to event planners. And we have an in-depth interview on the topic of downtown survival with Mayor Joe Hogsett. He was grilled by the IBJ's editorial board about a variety of concerns, including the city's response to rioting and looting last month, and the potential that the loss of convention business could start a chain reaction that debilitates downtown. You can read these stories in the latest print edition of IBJ or, of course, online at IBJ.com. I will say it's quite a bit easier to get access to all of IBJ's actionable, award-winning business content if you have a subscription. It works out to about $2 per week, so come on. That is a pretty solid investment. Just go to IBJ.com and click on the subscribe button. Thanks again for making time this week for the IBJ podcast, which is edited by Leslie Weidenbender. I'm Mason King. Hang in there, everybody. We'll be back again next week.